give thanks for the offertory. Before lockdown, we used to circulate plates round the church to the congregation, and we were considering, should we restart that? At the Baptist Church meeting last Sunday, we decided, no, we won't actually do that, because some people, when they come into church for the first time, they sort of feel, well, what do they remember? They asked me for money when he came in. So rather than circulate the plate, what we're going to do from now on, at least for a period, is to remind people that there are offertory plates at the front and the rear of the church for when you come in or when you go out. But we will have a moment in the service when we remember God's blessing, we give thanks for God's blessings, and we also give thanks for the offerings that are being received. And also at this point in time, we give thanks for new faces among us. Now we've got one new face over there, I know. Can you just sort of wave if you're not? Patrick. So welcome, Patrick. Is there anybody else in church who's here for the first time today? Welcome. Your name?
Nancy.
Nancy. Welcome, Nancy.
And I'm Joe, sorry.
You're Joe. Yeah. Welcome, Joe. We are being blessed in this church. Over the last, I think it's 3 months, every Sunday, we have somebody in church who's not been with us before. And that is something that we really need to give thanks to God for. So please say hello to Patrick, Nancy and Joe after the service. Make them welcome. And Patrick, Nancy and Joe, if there is anything that we can help you with or pray for you with or anything else, please do speak to us after the service. Don't go away feeling that nobody wanted to speak to you, because we certainly do want to speak and to welcome you to our congregation today. So let us pray. Let us give thanks. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you have plans for us that are for our good and your glory. You said, give and it will be given to you. For in the same measure as you give, it will be given to you again. We give to you today as a response to your goodness to us. We give to you today and ask that you receive our offerings and continue to supply all our needs. May your peace be in our hearts, your grace be in our words, your love be in our hands, and your joy be in our souls. In your mighty name, amen. And in this very troubled world in which we are living at this time, we're going to sing a song called Peace, Perfect Peace. And then after that, Martin is going to come up and lead us in our prayers of intercession. So let us stand and sing Peace, Perfect Peace.
Peace, perfect peace.
As we come to our prayers of intercession this morning, I would ask that you pray however you feel comfortable praying. So if you want to bow your heads and close your eyes, by all means do. If you want to put your hands out as we pray, that's entirely up to you. But let's join together as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence humbly acknowledging that we are sinners. We ask that you would forgive us for the sins of the past week. And in so doing, we thank you that you are the ever-loving, ever-forgiving God. We are a people who continue to seek your will and to serve you with love. But we acknowledge that we are weak and that we can never reach the standard that is required without your continued patience. We thank you for choosing us and adopting us into your family. Lord, we love you, and we will do our best to be the people that you have called us to be. Prince of Peace, we ask that you would bring peace to the war-torn areas of this world. We think particularly of the struggle between Ukraine and Russia, and we ask that you would be with the leaders of the nations, be in their thoughts, be in their hearts, and in their planning. We pray for those who have been displaced, that you would bring hope and stability. Be with them and help them as they make new lives in unfamiliar places. And be close particularly to the young and the children. They do not understand what is happening and have to completely relearn how to live as families. Lord, hear our prayers. King of Kings, we ask that you would be with the world leaders as they make decisions about climate change, world hunger, and rising costs of living. Inspire them in their negotiations and grant them compassion and give them a vision for world peace. We pray for those who are struggling with the rising costs of living, with those with concerns regarding job losses. Lord, bring peace and calm. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord of life, we bring to you those we know of who are suffering with illnesses. We think of Steve and Janet Barth with COVID, Frank recovering from his stroke, and Denise, who's recovering from the fall. We pray for healing. We pray for those working to bring solutions to the pandemic, those working in the health services, and those who work as carers. Protect them, Lord. Guard them and continue to strengthen them. We pray for those who are dealing with the loss of loved ones. Bring comfort and peace. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord of the Church, we ask that you would be with the churches represented here today, Methodist and Baptist, that you would reveal your plans and that you would guide the leadership teams as they seek you for the way forward, that we, the Church, would hear your voice. Bind us together in closer love and unity, that we may be representatives of you and of your mission in the world in which we live. Lord, hear our prayers. Father, you who watch out for the prodigal, receive with open arms those who seek you, those who come to you, strengthen the weak, feed the hungry, accept the rejected, clothe the naked, and be a father to the fatherless. Amen. And together we'll say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Now sing again a well-known hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Let us stand and sing. President of the United States, known as Calvin Coolidge. He was an unusual politician. He never used three words when he could only use one. I think most of our politicians these days never use one word when they could use three or four. But he was also a churchgoer. But one week, his wife wasn't well, and he went to church on his own. And when he got back home, his wife said, "What was the sermon about?" And he said, "Sin." And his wife said, "Well, what did the preacher have to say about it?" And he said, "He was against it." Another little story. There was a novelist researching a book, and he went to a local cemetery, and he discovered all the tombstones erected there had short epitaphs, but without exception, each epitaph had only words of praise for the deceased person. Words like generous, kind, upstanding, noble, loving. And the novelist said, "I wonder where they buried the sinners." In today's lesson that Mary read for us, Luke tells us that when the Pharisees saw Jesus associating with certain types of undeserving people, they felt superior and they criticized Jesus. These people that he's associating with, they're major sinners, greedy extortionists, and socially unacceptable. They were all the people that the Pharisees despised. And they felt that Jesus shouldn't be associating with them. Do we ever feel like that ourselves, that we like being with people who are like ourselves? People who do good are good people, we not sinners. But of course, we are all sinners. There are no exceptions. And the more we try to cover up or gloss over that reality, the greater our culpability, our self-righteousness, the path of self-destruction. In God's eyes, there are no undeserving human beings. God has no favorites, no outcasts, no distinctions. He sees every one of us as we are. He sees every one of us for what we are. He doesn't see statistics, ideas, things, but he sees faces, individual faces, each one of us. It's easy, isn't it, to look at the pictures in our papers, on our television screens of the conflict in Ukraine, and to just see a blur of faces. But God sees each individual face. He sees each individual one of us, and he treats us all the same, because he loves us all the same. Today's message from the gospel, the parable of the prodigal son, or maybe we should actually say it's the parable of a parent's love. Okay? In the parable, it's all about the father. But that's because Jesus was talking to people in the context of how they lived at the time. They lived in a patriarchal society where fathers had an importance beyond that which most of us deserve. But I've just changed that. I've said it's a parable of a parent's love. The fact that it was the father rather than the mother is unimportant. The parable is about a parent's love for a child. But we sometimes forget that there are two boys in the parable and two parts of the story. We focus on the son, the bad son, who went away, frittered away his inheritance and all that he had been given, and ended up sitting in a field wishing he could eat the food that the pigs were being fed because he was starving. And he said, "I'm being stupid. My father treats his servants better than this." He went back to his father. But what we really need to think about is about that older son. Because I doubt whether very many of us have taken our inheritance, run away from home, frittered it away. We are much more like that other son. The older brother who was sorry to see his brother come home, and who was angry that this son who'd come back had been given this feast of the fatted calf. So actually, it's not the parable of the prodigal son or the parable of the parent's love. It's actually the parable of the righteous son I want to think about this morning. The parable of the righteous son. Are we like that older brother? He had an impressive pedigree, didn't he? He stayed home. He was a good boy. He worked hard. He was respectable. He never ran off. He didn't waste his father's money. And as you read the story, you realize that the kind of life he was living led him to be joyless, thankless, loveless. He sees how his father warmly welcomes his younger brother back, and he says, "I have slaved for you, father. I've never disobeyed one of your orders, yet you never gave me as much as a kid goat to celebrate with my friends. Then when this son of yours returns, having gone through your property, you kill the fatted calf for him." The older brother is resentful, jealous, self-righteous. But how many of us here, when we read that story, have that little niggle that we feel sorry for the older son? The point of the story is that the father loves even this boy. The father loves the self-righteous son as well. It's easy to love the prodigal. He was an adventurer. He was a fun-loving fellow. And he was repentant and he came home. Any father could have loved that boy. What's so great about that? The significant part of the story is that the father loved the stay-at-home boy who was self-centered, sullen, and joyless. We need to ask ourselves, are we like that older brother? Many of us here in this church have been brought up in good homes and lived decent, respectable lives. Some of us have been here in the Father's house all our lives, but this doesn't mean we haven't sinned. Maybe our sins are more subtle, more dangerous, maybe more destructive, because we pretend they don't exist. Look around. We're a beautiful looking congregation, aren't we? We like each other, mostly. But when it comes down to the bread and butter things, the deep inner peace, the wholeness of life, the joy, the love, the superabundant kind of sensitive love that means you care for another person, we barely make passing grades. We think about each other on Sunday mornings in church. When we hear about people in need prayer, we nod and we say, yes, we'll remember them in our prayers. But do we really care for each other? Do we really love one another? How do we show it? The Baptist Deacons Leadership Team, we had an away day yesterday. We went over to Morton Church and we spent the day in prayer and conversation trying to discern where we as fellowship, that what is our vision for the future? We had various thoughts and we'll be sharing and talking about those over the next weeks with various people. But we were in the place where William Carey decided that he was going to give up everything that he had and go to India. And the room we were in had a mural on the wall about William Carey. And there was a verse across the top, which was, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. So, we're very good at expecting great things from God. Okay, that's easy, isn't it? The second part, though, is the bit which is our bit. But notice it didn't say, do great things for God. It said, attempt. And the sin that we fall into is that we don't even attempt. We are afraid of failing. We're afraid of change. So we sit comfortably at home. We're like that righteous son. We sit at home, we do the same things all the time, but we have no joy in our life because we're not attempting to do great things for God. So, what does God think of sin? He's against it. But we need to show him that we're against it by attempting to do great things for him. We're closing our service now with a hymn. It's an upbeat hymn. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ in you. So let us depart today with this ringing in our hearts. Let us stand.
Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, the mighty army, we arise. Now is the time for us to march upon the land into our hands. To lead us shall see the quest is long. Rejoice, rejoice, blessed is the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath lives in you. Arise, a mighty army, we'll rise. God is at work in earth, his purpose to perform, building a kingdom of power, not of words. Where things impossible by faith shall be made possible. Let's give the glory to him now. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Treasure is within. He turns our weaknesses into his opportunities, so that the glory goes to him. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath lives in you. Arise, a mighty army.
Follow the beacon of light, which will illuminate the path of Christ, which will lead you to a life of meaning, service, and love as we attempt great things. Let us say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the
Holy Spirit
be with us evermore.
Evermore.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless and have a wonderful week.
Finish, Ron.